got their soul upon the shelf. You know they could never love me when they can't even love themselves. And I need someone to love me, someone who really understands. Don't you put yourself above me, baby. Yeah, I got to love me like a man. Never seen such losers, baby. Even though I tried to find a man who could take me home, yeah, taking me for a ride. And I need someone to love me, someone who really understands. Don't you put yourself above me, baby. You got to love me like a me, baby, like my backbone was his own. Yeah. Darling, I know you can. Don't you put yourself above me, baby. You got to sad and lonely.
Show play.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
A couple of months ago, a friend of mine, my partner here at Blue Power, Mr. David Kimmelman, said, you got to come see this girl play. And so we went out to Woodland Hills, wasn't it? Thousand Oaks?
Camarillo.
That was even further, we went to Camarillo to see this lady, and I was completely amazed. Because I don't care what anybody says, it is very rare to see a lady play like you do. And so we decided to have Miss Teresa Russell on Blue Power. And she is here with us tonight. Thank you so much for coming all that way to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure, Teresa.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, listen, you know, this is a lady who makes her entire living playing music. And that's strange because not many people can say that, lay claim to that today. She's never had a day job in her life. And all she's done is play music. And I guess it really shows.
It's a passion.
You're a California girl, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
Uh-huh. Born and raised. And, from what you were telling me outside, you have been playing live professionally since you were 10.
Yeah, pretty much.
10 years old.
10 years old, yeah. And we started playing at Gazzari's on the Sunset Strip and the Whiskey, and I had a little band with my cousins, and my mom managed us. And So yeah, we're doing rock and roll and Jimi Hendrix and the Cream and playing all that good old stuff back then.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah,
that's excellent. What was the first guitar you ever owned?
A Washburn.
A Washburn.
Yeah, we were just talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we were just talking about Washburn guitars. They still make great guitars.
And I still have that guitar. It's, like I said, about 80 years old. And it was handed down by my grandma.
80 years old. The neck is still straight?
Neck is still straight. It looks beat up and thrashed. It's a mess, but it plays beautiful.
Yeah. I have my first real guitar was a guitar I bought when I was 15, an Epiphone. They made 500 of them, and two of them came into Savannah, Georgia. One of them was pristine, and the other one had cracks in the face. Well, the other one was too expensive for me, so I bought the one with the cracks in the face. Damn thing looks just like I do now. But
it plays good.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it's just a wonderful guitar. You know, I've kept it. I've been stepped on in Mexican bars and thrashed. I hit people with it, knocked them off stage. But it's a great guitar. So you know, having that one original guitar is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Just to keep it. Most time, the neck's warp. You know, after all those years.
Yeah.
Something goes wrong, you know.
Well, living where I do in the harbor, I mean, it's so moist down there. I've got to go get a neck adjustment like every, you know, month or so.
Just yeah.
To, yeah, because they tend to warp.
Well, mine doesn't have one of those things you screw in the neck, you know. Every time I need an adjustment, I have to take it to Art Valdez and he has to shave the neck. Take out the frets and shave the neck.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you have been playing then virtually all your life.
And yeah.
Did your mother actually get you into this, or was this something you chose and then your mom helped you? Because your mom was great when we went to see you play. She was up there singing with you.
Yeah, my mom was born to entertain. She's just a natural born entertainer. So when she was playing some bossa nova guitar back when I was about 7 years old, and I just gravitated to the guitar. And she also sang with her sister. She sang with big bands and, you know, that era of music and stuff. And so the music was, you know, passed on to us kids and my cousins, and we always got together every Sunday and went to the park and had family picnics and just, you know, played music all day long and jammed. And so, yeah, my mom was instrumental in and very supportive in wanting me to be in music as well, because she loved it. And she and my father, I think, gave me an opportunity to do the music. Well, she never really had, I don't think, had the same opportunity, but... yeah, she's been so supportive. She's my biggest fan and my best friend, and she's a neat lady. She managed us when we were kids and carted us all over, you know, with the U-Haul and took us to all our teen gigs and army bases and Gazaris and the Whiskey on the Sunset Strip.
What was it like? You mentioned that earlier. What was it like for you at 12 to play Gazaris on the Strip? What did you think?
You didn't have to pay to play at the time.
Yeah,
that time.
Thank
we actually
God.
Got paid, you know, for it.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that was way back when, because now Gazaris is the Key Club, and that's where I did that competition, but we can get into that later.
Okay.
But Gazaris was, it was packed all the time, and there was like several bands a night, and we were just this little kid band in there, and it was just fun. We drew a great crowd all the time, and... it was just entertaining. It was what I want to do and what
Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah, let's see. It was 69 or something like that, around then.
The good years on the Strip.
The good years,
Yeah.
When the Whiskey was cooking.
Well, yeah, I had a band that played in the Whiskey in 69 there, and somebody stole the damn guitar player's guitar right out of the dressing room.
Oh, no. It happens.
Yeah, it happened.
I hate when that
happens.
You know
what? Mario.
Hate that.
Mario, who owns a Whiskey, sent out three guys, and they were back in 45 minutes with the guitar and the guy who stole it.
Wow.
Yeah. I hate to think what happened to the guy that stole the guitar. But they, too, were from Cleveland, Rastus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a killer on a Fender. I mean, I was sitting there that night watching you, and I was just marveling. And then listening to your CDs, your fingering, your style, even though you play a lot of things that other people have played that obviously you've heard and have been and been influenced by. You have a style all your own.
Yeah, that just comes from...
You have a backstroke, I noticed, too, that I really like.
A backstroke in the rhythm hand there? Or?
In the rhythm hand and in the lead, where you pull back. You know, you'll be playing a lead and come back like that. And I like that. I said, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, part of the rhythm.
Yeah.
Part of the style.
Well, yeah. we have a couple things here. I have a live CD here. Is this one that you made, or is this the one that you made for me? Is this one that you were selling? Or?
Well, it looks by the titles on it. I guess it's still got the blues. And
yeah.
Yeah, those are some cover tunes. Yeah, that was made live with me and my band, Coco Billy.
Coco Billy. How long have you played with Coco Billy?
They've been with me for probably about 7 years. Coco's the drummer. He's been probably with us about 5 years. Billy... And I, we met playing in Helen Reddy's band.
Billy's the bass player?
Yeah, Billy's the bass player.
Okay.
Yeah, thus you have the name Coco Billy.
You played in Helen Reddy's band?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah,
in the mid-80s back then.
And you must have known Jeff Wald.
Yeah, well, you know what? He had just left. He was gone, and she had remarried. So all I knew was all the stories.
All the horror stories, right?
All the stories, yes.
Oh, my God. How was it? What was it like playing with Helen?
You know, she's a great entertainer. She's a good person. She embraced us, the band, like her own family and kids, and kind of very motherly and protective. And she's well-read and well-educated and great sense of humor, real fun to be with. And we got to travel, God, all over a good portion of the world. So a lot of my major travels were probably done with her. I think we were... with her on and off about 10 years.
Excellent. So you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was a great opportunity. Yeah.
Good experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not really the style of music that, you know, I would play on my own, but it was, you know,
they called me
for the audition and...
did a lot of I Am Woman?
If that's the albatross around her neck, she can't get away from that song, you know. She would love to get away from that song if she can't.
Yeah, that's too bad. I met Jeff Wald once.
Yeah.
Just once.
That's all it took, huh?
That's all it took. Uh-huh. Would you like to play another tune?
Sure, yeah. I'll do an original song, something that'll be out on the next CD.
Excellent.
And it's called Sweet Tenderness. A heartache turns to night with this weariness in my bones. I'm so tired, I'm losing my sight. I don't know if I can find my way home. Troubles holding me back. Yeah. All of this pain is holding me down. With all these hard days, I could lose track. But with your sweet love, my strength is found. That's what you do for me, babe. I found my inspiration. Found my strength to make it through another day. I found my dreams recreation. Here in your sweet tenderness. Sometimes I feel so lost in this world. Such a struggle to try to get
goodbye. I need a friend in such a cold world. I need a little help just to try to keep my love from slipping away. To hang on for one more day. At the end of each day, I hope I will be here in the arms of your love, where my dreams remain. 'Cause that's what you give to me, babe. My inspiration, find my strength to make it through another day. I find my dreams a recreation, here in your sweet tenderness. I said, here in your sweet tenderness.
Live on Blue Power is Teresa Russell. Absolutely phenomenal. That sounds like a hit to me.
Thank you.
It really does. You didn't do it acoustic, single vocal on your CD, did you?
No, but might be nice to.
I'm telling you, that's. I'm glad to have that.
I'm proud to have an alternate version of that. Yeah, well, it'll be done by Coco Billy and me, and my co-songwriter was Billy Breland on that song.
So. Excellent. Yeah. Marvelous song.
Thank you.
Very, very tasty. When is the new CD going to be done?
Well, let's see. I'm recording the Cajun Zydeco right now, so we plan to go into the studio probably in September, October with Coco Billy, and pretty much lay down the tracks there and then finish it up on the Mac G4 and Pro Tools and do all that fun stuff. So I'm hoping it'll be out in November.
Excellent.
December, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's marvelous. That's a wonderful tune. If all the tunes are like that, girl, there won't be no stopping you.
Thank you. Yeah, they're fun to play.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful.
Glad you like it.
Let's, I tell you what, Let's play one from the live CD here.
Okay.
What do you suggest we play? What would you like us to play?
Well, a lot of folks like Still Got the Blues. It's kind of like one of the most requested songs for that CD.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we do that?
Okay.
We'll put that on right now and listen to it.
Great.
Give my heart away, but I found out the hard way. It's a price that you must pay. I found out that love was no friend of mine. I should have known time after time. The blues for you. It used to be so easy to fall in love and give my heart away, but I found out the hard way. It's a road that leads to fate. I found out that love was just a game. You're playing it to win, but you lose just the same. So long, it was so long ago that I still got the blues. Since I've seen your face, with you in my heart, there's an obvious face. You used to be. We'll be right back.
You're back on BluePower.com. This is John Reese, and tonight I'm talking to the fabulous Miss Teresa Russell. Teresa, we were just sitting outside in the cool night air talking about your trip to Cleveland, Ohio, where you performed in Guitarmageddon.
Right.
And I'd like to like you to explain to the audience how you were chosen, how you got there, and what happened when you got there.
Well, Guitarmageddon is a competition that's held every year by sponsored by the guitar centers across America, and this particular year it was also sponsored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And getting into a guitar competition was the last thing I ever thought I would do. I haven't done that since I was a teenager. So I never thought of it, but some friends came to me who work at Guitar Center and said, you know, Teresa, you ought to be in this competition. I think you got a good chance, and you never know what will come out of it. And I said, you know, nah, come on, you know. So I went over and played to one of their tracks. They got like 10 tracks. It's all different styles of music, country, blues, rock. I picked a blues track, and I just blew to that. And one thing led to another, and there were judges there, and I scored whatever the score was. And so it brought me back another time. Process of elimination until, you know, and I actually went home and practiced a serious piece for the final competition there. And I won, so I was stoked. And the next place to go was to the Key Club in L.A., and this is the West Regional Finals, and people from the eight finalists from all over the Western region, you know, between Washington and Lower California will come to compete in this. So there was eight of us finalists. And at the Key Club, there was the panel of judges. One was Steve Lukather from Toto and Steve Stevens from Billy Idol. And some of the Steve Vai Record Company was there. So it was nice to have those high-profile judges there. And winning was not something that I thought I would do, but in the end, I won. They picked me, and I was really amazed and overwhelmed. And I won some cool guitars, a Gibson and a Les Paul and a Gibson amplifier. And so that was great. You know, I was all high, and everybody's high. The family's high. The town's high. You know, we're all like on a, you know, a big high. So the next step is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the national finals. And this is from, you know, the ones that rose up to the top of their level from all over the country. And so that ended up with eight finalists at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And actually the grand prize there was like a Mustang or something like that, and a Mustang guitar as well. And there was eight of us, and they flew us all in. And the night of the competition, we all had to pick a number to go up on stage. So I picked number four, and for some reason somebody didn't get a number, so we had to pick again, and somebody came over and handed me number one. Oh. So they made me go on first. I didn't really want to go on first, but, well, you know, I guess I'll get it over with. And I'm waiting to go on, and the MC comes up to me and he says, you know, the rules of the competition, you've got, you know, your 4.5 minute song that you've planned to play, and then you get a 2 minute freeform solo. On the freeform solo, you can't not go over 2 minutes. If you do, we're gonna have to pull the plug, you know, or just, you know, I mean, you're done. 2 minutes, that's it. And I said, what if it's 2 minutes and 15 seconds? You know, he says, I'm sorry, just 2 minutes, whatever. So anyway, I played a great first song, and really won over the audience. And it was, then I played my freeform solo, and in the middle of my freeform solo, this MC came up, you know, before I was even done, and says, let's hear it for Teresa Russell. So I guess I was done. So I had to like immediately segue to like the end, you know, just like get out of it. And that was that. And then the second guy, the guy who was number two in line came up to the MC, and he says, you better never do that to me. You know, and then he never did it to anybody else the rest of the night.
Just you.
Yeah, just me. So I kind of got the shaft on
what
that
a
one.
Schmuck.
Yeah, I don't think it was very professional. You know,
no.
They could have allowed a few extra seconds. You
absolutely.
Know, kept it professional. But
who were the judges there?
The judges, not quite as high profile, not as the ones in L.A. As far as I know, I don't think there were any guitar players. I think there was a bass player who was with the Joe Walsh's band or something, and then there was mostly like local Cleveland DJs. I think they were all the panel of like five judges.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they were all guys. And, of course, I'm the only girl in the competition that's ever gotten this far, you know.
Yeah.
And they looked a little disinterested when they were judging everybody. They were yakking between each other, and I don't know if they were really even listening to everybody, but, I mean, we had a great time playing, but everybody... It's funny, everybody thought I was going to win, but I didn't. I didn't win the Mustang, but I just to go there and compete in this was a great experience. And I think another thing is, you know, to have a woman win a competition like this might be maybe a little demeaning for the competition. I don't know, maybe people wouldn't really take it seriously. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't blame you.
I mean, I'm not being a sore loser or anything like that. It was just a great experience, and they were all great guitar players. But those are my personal thoughts.
Well, I got to tell you something.
It's a tough business.
It is a tough business, and mm-hmm. It is a male-dominated business. There's no doubt about it. But to not have a woman on the judges panel, not have a guitar player on the judges panel, doesn't make any sense to me.
When you get to that level, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thought they would have had, you know, some major guitar players there.
They fudged on that end of it. I don't know why.
Well, they lost it on that end of it. And we're going to listen to... Did you write... You wrote the piece.
Actually, I wrote what was played on it. Actually, it was put together, the CD, the compilation CD was put together by studio musicians, and you picked, you know, whatever... tune you wanted to play, and then you write your own melody to it, and your
okay.
own, you know, solo.
And what we're about to hear on this CD is what now?
Well, I call it Guitarmageddon, and it's...
I thought that was a competition.
I call the name of the song Guitarmageddon.
Okay.
Yeah, so the name of the song is Guitarmageddon, and it's all instrumental, and it's just the guitar, and then I'm blowing over the tracks that were, you know, laid down, by studio players, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. How long is it?
It's about 4.5 minutes.
Oh, if it goes over 3, I have
yeah,
to shut it off.
Yeah, you have to shut it off.
Let's play it right now, okay?
Okay, sure. Please don't shut it off.
We'll be right back.
We're talking to Miss Teresa Russell. And Teresa, there's a question I want to ask you.
Sure.
In today's music, who do you like? I'm talking about today's music on today's radio. Is there any particular artist that you like?
Oh, I don't listen to a lot of today's radio. I guess I'm just...
Does anybody?
I love the old stuff, you know. I mean, I love, you know, what Santana's come up with, you know.
Yeah.
He's made a great comeback, and Bonnie Raitt, I just love the R&B, and I love the blues, and I like a lot of different styles, but I don't think I could give you a name for today.
Talking about blues and R&B, there isn't anymore. The radio stations don't play, at least what I consider to be blues and R&B. There are some tremendous artists out there, some great production.
Well, I know that a lot of kids, the parents that, you know, grew up with all the music that I did, all their kids are like going back to like the Led Zeppelins
and exactly.
Stevie Ray Vaughan and Cream and just all the stuff back in the 60s, 70s, you know, that kind of thing.
Corporate radio is shutting all that out, you know. It's amazing to me, for instance, Clear Channel. If you, they won't play your record if they don't book you. You've heard about that, right?
Right, yeah, uh-huh,
I
yeah.
mean,
is
that not crass payola? I mean, it's just amazing to me. And they are trying to get it to get the government, the FCC, to open it up more.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy, yeah. That's just what I want. Yeah. More Britney Spears. Thank you very much.
Commercial radio, I just don't know. It's just, there's so much great music out there that just doesn't get played
Absolutely.
On commercial radio. So you got to go to the Internet and the underground and find it. And it's all over the place.
The Internet is the new underground.
Yep, it is.
And that's what we try to do. We try to expose new people. And new talented people.
That's a beautiful thing.
And that's why you're here.
Thank you. Because it's a very small percentage that gets into the,
Absolutely.
The labels and to, you know,
well, you know
major
what?
Radio stations.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah,
now,
pretty much.
With your own website,
mm-hmm.
okay? And as a matter of fact, I would like to encourage all our listeners to check out TeresaRussell.com. That's Teresa's website. And if you would like to write to her, and she'd love to hear from you, I already cleared this with her.
Sure.
Her address is TRMusic, that's one word, lowercase, TRMusic@TeresaRussell.com. So check out Teresa's website at TeresaRussell.com, and you may write to her, nice things only, please, at TRMusic@TeresaRussell.com.
Yeah, you can say you want to buy CDs and stuff like that, too.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely. Help these artists because they need your help. And if you want to keep music alive, real independent music alive, support the artists, okay? Teresa?
Yes.
Take us out with one more tune, would you please?
Okay. Let's see.
One of your favorites, of course.
Let's see a favorite. Should I do a slow or fast? I've done, you know, probably mostly slow ones. I don't know.
Do whatever you would like to do, my dear.
Okay, I just like this song. It's a John Prine tune. And
I love John Prine.
Angel from Montgomery.
Oh, have mercy. Miss Teresa Russell.
Child that's grown old. Your dreams were thunder, lightning was desire. Your soul house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an is just a hard way to go. Was a young girl, I had me a cowboy. He wasn't much to look at, just a free rambling man. That was a long time ago. No matter how hard I tried, he's just floored down like a broken down dam. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Got to give me one thing, yeah, I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way. In the kitchen, I can hear all the buzzing, and I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning, come home in the evening, and have nothing? Hold on to, yes, yes. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. Yeah, to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
Angel from Montgomery, Miss Teresa Russell. Teresa, thank you so much for coming to visit with BluePower.com.
It's my pleasure, John. Thank you for having me.
We'd love to have you back sometime.
I'd love to come back.
Especially when you got your new CD. We'd love to play it.
I should have two for you then.
Excellent.
Two CDs.
Marvelous. Be glad to play them.
Okay, yeah, because we got the
thank you very
on,
much. Though. Mr. David Kimmelman sitting here with us too. And on a warm summer night here in Van Nuys, California, at Saturn and Vine Studios. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.